Welcome to episode number one of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This episode, we're talking about why we chose the Caribbean, types of joints, and the cytoskeleton.
All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Jen.
Welcome. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We're kind of really excited to get it off the ground, and we think it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Jen, it's been...
And that's Micah, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm Micah. we've been here a week and a half?
About a week and a half, yeah. Almost two, I guess, on Tuesday, Wednesday. Anyway, yeah, in a couple days.
What's been your most favorite thing about St. Vincent so far?
Well, it is January, and it's 80 degrees outside.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You want to know what one of my least favorite things about St. Vincent is?
What?
It's 80 degrees outside.
That's true. You have not stopped sweating.
No. Well, I did, but I was in the anatomy lab. I was working with a cadaver.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. So let's jump into it right away. First topic of the day is why we chose the Caribbean.
So, right. There are hundreds and I'm sure thousands of different medical schools out there in the great wide world. And we chose to come here to St. James School of Medicine in beautiful St. Vincent and the Grenadines. And why we chose to go here is that, first of all, tuition is much cheaper. We're paying about half of what we would have to be paying in the States.
And that's such a motivating factor. I mean, med school is extremely expensive. And, you know, now that they pay residents, the truth is that by the time we're done with residency, we may be able to have our student debt paid off. And that is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So, and the schools here in the Caribbean, they're getting better and better and better, right? And we've got the exact same classwork here and the same licensing to go through the process here. You will be able to practice back in the United States, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and one of my favorite parts is that because it's all still kind of new and they're still smaller schools, to me that's kind of a big note in the pro area. The classes are much smaller. My class is only 25 people or so. And it also means that there's a really...
And that's the entire cohort.
Yeah, that's my entire group. That's all of my starting class is about 25. And that also means that we have a really low teacher-to-student ratio. So there's for every 10 students, there's one teacher. And there's not a lot of schools in the United States that can do that.
Also, there's slightly less requirements, and so you were able to get in earlier. So Micah had a long history of doing advertising and marketing and decided later in life that he wanted to go to med school. I mean, we're in our mid-30s.
Yep.
And so...
Oh, that sounds weird, mid-30s.
Oh, gosh, it's so real, though.
That is so real. I'm still claiming upper, lower 30s. But she's right. So I had to go back to school and get all of my science classes and my math classes taken care of. And, you know, I was well on my way to being able to get into a school stateside. But then we found out that I could get in so much earlier, like a year earlier, at least, in the Caribbean.
And that is also one of the benefits. We get to live here in the Caribbean. It's beautiful and it's fun and it's really great to have that additional multicultural experience.
Yeah.
I've done a lot of travel in my life and it's always been a priority for me, and getting to live in a different culture for 2 years is a big plus.
I also think that the makeup of my class is leading me to a very multicultural education. That
absolutely.
Out of everyone in my class, there's a handful of people from the United States and a handful of people from Canada. There's also quite a few Middle Eastern students. There's some Indian students. There's some Pakistani students. There's European students. I met an Australian student the other day. He's not in my class, but there's an Australian student. I mean, just the idea that I get to see these perspectives of healthcare from all the different parts of the world, I think is incredibly cool.
This podcast and a bunch of other information can be found on artofmedschool.com. Check back regularly for blog posts as well as worksheets and other materials that can help you in your med school journey. So I guess today we're talking about the joints, which tell me a little bit more about the joints.
Yeah, so a joint is where two or more bones articulate. And we actually have quite a few of these in the body. It's interesting. Before 1995, we thought we had 340. And after, since then, like since 95, we think we've discovered like 20 more. So,
did we get new ones?
I really kind of hope so, because that'd be awesome. So right now we'd say we have 360 joints. That's kind of the number that we go with right now. And the reason that we have them is that they provide movement and they provide flexibility and support. That's kind of the two big things, is flexibility and support. And they all strike a balance between being able to provide movement and being able to provide support between those two bones.
Okay, so there's different kinds of joints then, I'm assuming, yeah?
Yeah, there's so what we do is we classify joints based off of their the connective tissue between them. So the things that hold it together, essentially, the type of connection. So there's solid ones and there's synovial ones.
Okay, so wait, there's solid joints. When I think of joints, I always think about movement.
Sure, yeah.
But, I mean, I suppose you're right. Like, there's all these, like, bones in your skull that you definitely don't want to move.
Yeah, you don't want those to move at all if you can help it. I mean, there's also other joints that have a little bit of movement that you may not think about. Like, the joints, we'll get into those a little bit later. But, okay, so let's, I'm going to backtrack. I'm starting with the joints in the skull since you brought it up. So those joints are called sutures, and they have a connective tissue between them that's called fibrous tissue. And that fibrous tissue is actually parallel bundles of what we call collagen fibers. And really, collagen is, it's just a type of protein.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I just always think about what celebrities put in their lips.
Sure, yeah. So another connective, or another place that we have connective tissue that's the same thing, like that, those parallel bundles, is the connection between the teeth and your jaw.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Okay, so that's called gomphosis. Another example is in between your radius and your ulna. There is a membrane of connective tissue just to help them stick together when they're rotating. It's called a syndesmosis.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I feel like that's almost like cheating.
Okay, so that's the fibrous tissue. There's the other type, which is the cartilaginous. So I was starting to say about the ribs and the sternum, that you want those to be able to move. You know, when you take a breath, that's your rib cage expanding.
Oh, sure. Like, when you look at the skeleton of the human body, how you can feel it on your body that you feel like you've got a bone, like, right on the bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really a bone.
No, that's actually hyaline cartilage, which hyaline is a type of connective tissue. Cartilaginous is a combination of hyaline and fibrocartilage. They use a lot of the same, you know, they use collagen. They're all kind of different types of protein fibers. So that ribs and sternum one, that's called a synchondrosis, and that provides for some amount of movement. Another interesting spot that we have a synchondrosis connection is in the growth plate of the bone.
Oh, sure.
Because that's actually kind of like two different bones that are connected together with connective tissue.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense.
That middle shaft of the bone is called a diaphysis, and the end of the bone is called an epiphysis, and your growth plate is actually called the epiphyseal plate, which I kind of really like saying epiphyseal plate. I don't know why. Okay, so that's another type of that's a cartilage joint. Another example of cartilage joint, that's synchondrosis. It's called synchondrosis. Another example is the symphysis. So in your pubic bone, in your pelvis, in the front, because you know your pelvis is actually two different bones, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a connection in the front of cartilage.
Oh, because like it needs to expand if I'm like having a baby pass through there.
Yeah, so women that release a hormone called relaxin, because we're often really clever at naming things.
Relax and to relax that?
Yes.
Charming.
It allows for some movement there. And that's called a symphysis. In it, that kind of joint. That's actually called the pubic symphysis because, again, we're making that one easy.
So, okay, so those are... Is that everything for the solid joints?
Yeah, those are the solid joints.
Okay, so there's solid joints and then the other ones.
Okay, yeah, the other one is the synovial joint.
Okay.
Okay, so the synovial joint is like a capsule that goes around those
ends of the bones. Wait, the synovial joints, hold on. Those are all of the other ones that you kind of think of.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
your wrists
the majority.
And your shoulders and your knees,
elbow,
all that stuff.
Yeah, knees. Knees are a really good example because knees have some other stuff that are in the synovial joint that make them cool. But yeah, so it's two bones coming together. Think of like pushing your, so say your fists are the ends of bones, yeah?
Okay.
And you're pushing them inside of a balloon. That's kind of what it looks like. There's this big membrane that goes around both ends of them, ends of the joints. It's called the synovial membrane, actually, because we name everything. It's the synovial membrane on the inside. The outside is called the fibrous membrane. But the synovial membrane is on the inside, and that's like a synovial capsule. The only thing that doesn't work in that analogy is that your fist should actually be going inside of the balloon.
Okay.
So the bones are peeking inside of the balloons, or the synovial capsule. They don't actually touch. There's a little bit of space
sure,
in between.
Sure, so it can stay squishy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because bones are hard.
Yeah, bones are hard. So they don't actually touch, and that's the articular cavity. And then so that squishy is hyaline cartilage that goes across the end. And that's for, like, shock absorption.
Yeah, so, yeah, the shocks and struts for your car,
yep.
But in your body.
Yeah, yeah. So the synovial membrane releases something called the synovial fluid, which allows for more shock absorption, keeping things lubricated and stuff moving around inside of there. There's some fat pads, which also do some cushioning. And the thing that's cool, like with a knee, you know, your ACL and MCL that people talk about tearing, that's a ligament that actually goes through that cavity to provide extra strong support.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So, like, going back to your balloon analogy, if you put a string on top of a balloon, it would easily be able to slide off one way or another. But if it went through it, then it's holding it in place more.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. That's the nutshell of a synovial joint.
Okay, so we've got joints. They bring at least two pieces of bone together, and there's two different types of connections. There's the solid ones, like in your skull, and then there's the synovial ones that are your wrist and your knees and whatever. And the solid ones are connected either through cartilage or connective tissue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the synovial
ones... Oh, wait, no, not connective tissue. Sorry, I didn't hear that right. Cartilage or fibrous tissue.
Okay.
Both of those are examples of connective tissue.
Oh, okay. Cool. And then, so there's the solid joints, and then there's the synovial ones, which are the most common. And they're surrounded by this capsule that kind of keeps things lubricated and squishy in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the ballpark of it. You got it.
All right. Joints. Liking what you're hearing? Coming very soon, we will be launching our Patreon account where you will get special access to more of what you're getting here. Okay, everybody. So Micah was just giving me a little bit of a preview about what this section's about, and it's kind of blowing my mind. So this is on the cytoskeleton. And it doesn't sound very interesting, but I think it is. So remember when you were in high school and you took biology and they were like, this is what the cell is made out of. And it's got the phospholipid bilayer and the nucleus and the mitochondria or whatever. There's something else in there that they never told you about. And I felt like I was lied to. So there is this, like, all of these different types of, like, tubes or conveyor belts that builds the structure of the cell that everything else connects to. So it's like, imagine if the cell was a city, and like an old-timey city that has a that has a wall around it, and that's your phospholipid bilayer. But then you've got like City Hall, and that's the nucleus, and then you've got you know, the coal factory, and that's the mitochondria. And but the cytoskeleton is all of the different networks of roads that connects everything to each other, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to talk to each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's amazing.
That's not a bad way to put it. The cytoskeleton is this network of different types of proteins and protein fibers that lend structural support, they help the cell move, and they do transportation within the cell. Yeah, that was a really good introduction.
Thanks.
So there's three types of fibers in the cytoskeleton, or three types of structures. There's the microtubules, which are the thickest, the intermediate filaments, and then the microfilaments, which are the smallest.
Okay, I think that's a little confusing. That it's microtubules, and those are the biggest. That should be called macrotubules.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about the cell, like everything's micro.
That's fair. Okay, fine.
We'll start with the microtubules.
Okay, yeah, what's the deal with the microtubules? Okay, what's their deal?
To me, the easiest thing to remember that the microtubules do are cilia and flagella. So, cilia, when you think of a cartoon cell, it always has the hairs on the outside that it uses to help it move.
To swim around?
Yeah, that's cilia.
Okay.
And then a flagella is like the tail of a sperm. Just spins. What doesn't spin? Well, it kind of spins. It's sort of a corkscrew.
It flips around. Okay.
Yeah, but that's a form of microtubule.
Those ones are really big.
Yeah, so that is fairly large. And the cilia, not as big, but yeah, we even have cilia like in the tracks of our throat to help keep moving mucus around and stuff. Otherwise, they also do some transport help within the cell. And that's like moving proteins around from like your rough ER, your endoplasmic reticulum is like what makes those proteins, and then they get sent over to the Golgi apparatus, which kind of like repackages them and finishes them.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
So that think of those as like the road. You know, that's the road taking it from one part to another. And then the other thing is like mitotic spindle. I don't know if you remember at all, like chromosomes lining up in the middle of the plate when a cell divides.
Yes.
Okay, so remember at least this part, that the chromosomes, when a cell divides, it moves the DNA into the middle and then it splits them apart. Those get moved by mitotic spindles, which are microtubules.
Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's when things are moving around, you gotta be using your cytoskeleton.
Yeah, so, and that's the thickest part of the cytoskeleton. Actually, it's kind of cool the way it's made. I think it's kind of cool, but I'm also a huge nerd. Microtubules are made of tubulin. There's alpha and beta tubulin. It's just two different types of tubulin proteins. They're put together to make like a line called dimer. That dimer then makes a sheet, and then that sheet is rolled over into a tube, and then that's attached to some kind of a base. So think of it, like when we say microtubules, we literally mean tubes.
Yeah. Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
That is interesting. That it makes a tube.
Yeah, it's literally a tube.
I mean, it shouldn't be that weird, but because it's in the name.
But, like, doing that tube thing, too, also, I think that's part of why it makes it the thickest, is because that construction just lends itself to being big.
Larger.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the microtubule.
So, and those are the thickest. Now we've got mama bear.
Okay, so mama bear, so if that was papa bear, mama bear are the intermediate filaments. So that's the middle of the road, right? Intermediate filaments, and even in the name, intermediate, like that's an easy way to remember, intermediate. At least that one, because both of the other ones have micro in it. Intermediate filaments, that's just structure and support. They resist mechanical stress. They don't really change in size or anything. They don't really move around. They're fairly rigid. And so much more we're thinking like maybe like steel girders in a building providing extra support.
Oh, sure. Okay. So these are the ones that are really making sure that the cell just doesn't collapse upon itself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as far as construction goes, it's a variety of proteins. It really depends on what cell they're in will dictate a lot of what those intermediate filaments are made out of.
Sure. So can I ask a question that maybe is inappropriate?
No, yeah, go ahead.
If it's
too hard, we might have to restart recording.
Does this happen in all types of cells or only in human cells? Or, like, animal-type cells?
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm going to say I'm not sure about plant cells. All animal cells will have different forms of this.
Okay, cool.
And then even in our, because we have about 200 different types of cells, you know, not all of them are flagellated, I think is the right way to say that term, or not all of them are ciliated. You know, they don't all have tails, they don't all have little hairs sticking out, but they all have something like this, some sort of cytoskeleton going on, especially like the intermediate filaments to help give good support.
Sure.
What's a good example of an intermediate filament that you would know? Keratin.
Oh, okay.
So, like, keratin that helps keep your skin kind of hard, as, like, the individual cells are hard and they can slough off okay and give you protection that way. That's a form of intermediate filaments.
Oh, cool. So, okay, so what are these intermediate filaments made out of, or how are they made?
Oh, well, it's a variety of proteins. It all depends on what cell they're in will dictate that. So, without getting to a whole nother, I mean, like, that gets a little bit further into the rabbit hole than we need to go right here.
Oh, okay.
So let's move on to microfilaments.
Yeah, this is baby bear. Yeah, so we had Papa Bear, Mama Bear, Baby Bear, microfilaments.
Yep, so Papa Bear was the microtubules, Mama Bear is the intermediate filaments, so then we can call microfilaments Baby Bear. And actually, sometimes they won't call it microfilaments, and I think they do this to clear up the name. They'll call them actin filaments. So that might be another word that you see.
Actin?
Actin. Actin is a type of protein. And that's actually what makes the microfilaments.
Oh.
It's actin that gets put together into a chain, which is called an actin polymer. And then these two chains of actin polymers are just twisted together, kind of like what you might think of with like a rope.
Oh, sure, okay.
Yeah, twisted together like that. That's called an actin filament. So microfilament, actin filament. What's really cool with these is that they can very quickly go through a process called actin polymerization and depolymerization, which is a little tough to say, depolymerization. What polymerization is when we've got these filaments of actin, it's just adding more actin in there. So when you add in more actin in, what happens? That whole filament gets longer.
Oh, okay.
You depolymerize it. You
take it gets shorter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this is going to do a lot of the movement of the cell from within the cell because they're really good at changing their length very quickly. So think of like, you know, I think we can all picture an amoeba that is kind of a squiggly circle that changes shape in order to move around.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening is that there are microfilaments that are changing their length inside.
Oh.
To make those waves, and that helps the cell move. We call it gross movement because that movement is being done with the whole cell.
Thing, yeah.
But yeah, that's how that functions.
Oh, wow. Okay, so.
And one of the things that I think is so darn cool about science is how quickly these processes occur. You know, like, we have to go through the process of adding those actins in and then taking them out in order to achieve cell movement this way. But it happens so fast that we can watch a cell move across a plate. I mean, that's
and it's
awesome.
Making those ropes, rope-like things longer and shorter.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
So to kind of recap, you've got, again, the microtubules, which are the biggest, the intermediate filaments, which are the middle, or mama bear, and the microfilaments, or the actin filaments, which are the baby bear. These are all parts of the cytoskeleton, which provide structural support, movement, and transport within the cell.
And they're kind of mind-blowing. All right, so that is what what we had for you guys today. We talked about why we chose to move to the Caribbean for med school, joints, and cytoskeleton. We would like to thank you for listening to us today, and we hope that you listen next week. We'll have a whole bunch of other things in our podcast full of stuff that pretty much blows my mind. Our theme music, Urbana Metronica Wuya Mix by Spinning Mercada, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way with St. James School of Medicine. He just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.